I'm Mark Purzel, and this is Cincinnati Edition. And yes, it is a Sunday morning, because usually on Saturdays you hear the voice of Chris DeSimeo going on the money with you. But Chris DeSimeo in the studio with me this morning because among his other outside interests, he's president of the Friends of the Harriet Beecher Stowe House here in Cincinnati. And as the nation begins to celebrate Black History Month here during the month of February, a lot of Black history right here in Cincinnati, and we'll be highlighting some of it during this month on Cincinnati Edition. Good morning, Chris, and welcome.
Well, good morning, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here.
So the Harriet Beecher Stowe House in Walnut Hills at the corner of Gilbert Avenue and Martin Luther King, the Friends of the Harriet Beecher Stowe House maintain the house. It's a historical and cultural site, and the Cincinnati Park Board has a hand in it. But let's talk about the Beechers who lived in Cincinnati back in the mid 1800s, and Harriet Beecher Stowe in particular. Most folks know Uncle Tom's Cabin and Harriet Beecher Stowe, but I didn't realize how much of the Beecher family was really involved in so many activities.
They were perhaps one of the most famous families in the United States at the time. Her father, Dr. Lyman Beecher, was the pastor of a church in Boston. And remember that back then, I mean, we didn't have cable TV. We didn't have, you know, the 24-hour news cycle. No one had cell phones and smartphones. People gathered for live, you know, interaction, and it frequently started with church on a Sunday morning. And this area, of course, was a real hotbed of that kind of thing. Dr. Beecher, of course, in Boston was brought here. He was recruited by the Tappan brothers, who were in New York, the wealthiest merchants of the day, to be the president of the college, a seminary that was here in Cincinnati, kind of halfway between Xavier and UC. And Dr. Beecher had a number of sons, many of whom also became ministers, some of whom had not yet left the home, though they were in school, such as Henry Ward Beecher, who would be considered the most famous man in America after the Civil War. He came here. Harriet Beecher Catherine, who was a pioneer in the field of education for women, because remember, back then, women were not allowed to they weren't allowed to vote. They weren't allowed to enter into contracts. They were held almost, you know, as second class citizens. Mm-hmm. And education for them consisted of a different set of experiences than the typical college education then. So she came here. She left her Hartford Academy and came here and started a Western Female Academy right here in Cincinnati. So Harriet was the smart aleck kid of the group. Really, she was about 21. They came here in 1832. So keep in mind that Cincinnati was in the middle of a boom that went from 1800 to 1850. The population doubled every 10 years. It was the fastest growing city in the United States. By the time the Beechers left, it was the sixth biggest city in the country. And it come out of nowhere, thanks in part to the riverboat mm-hmm. and to Cincinnati's location. So they were coming to a place that was seen as the country as the hot spot. This was the West. It was the new frontier. And so the Beechers, not just Harriet, but the whole family came right smack dab in the middle of it.
And Harriet Beecher Stowe, you mentioned education for women at the time. She was very interested in education, a highly educated woman.
As a matter of fact, she worked for her sister. Imagine
right.
that. She taught at the school. She was interested in many things. She'd already written a book, a geography book. She came here. She was so interested in education. And remember, because they were leaving the old world in New England behind, mm-hmm. that Cincinnati represented a completely new set of rules. There was a club. There was a house owned by her uncles, Samuel and John Foote, right at the corner of 3rd and Vine in downtown Cincinnati. And it was not scandalous then. No one thought anything of it, at least here in Cincinnati, that women and men could attend the same meeting. It was kind of like a book club gathering. It'd be every Monday night. They would gather there and discuss books. They would write and critique each other's writings. They would have punch. Afterwards, her uncles were also fairly rich. Members of this club included Dr. Daniel Drake, Salmon P. Chase, James Hall, the literary pioneer of the Midwest, as he was called. He published the Western Monthly Magazine. He saw some of Harriet's writings in the early 1830s and said, "Hey, you know what? You're pretty good. How would you like to write some stuff for us?" And he became the first person really to publish some of her other writings. Right here in Cincinnati, 1833 was when that happened.
Well, Harriet lived in the house between, what, 1832 and 1836 when she got married.
Exactly.
And it was here in Cincinnati. She didn't write Uncle Tom's Cabin here in Cincinnati, but events here in Cincinnati led her to write Uncle Tom's Cabin when she moved back to Maine.
Exactly, starting with the Lane Seminary debates, because her father, as the president of the Lane Seminary, kind of didn't preside over them, but allowed it to happen, and he probably wished he hadn't. It was the very first time that slavery had been discussed in a public forum. It was 1834, and it was scandalous. And in fact, ultimately, it led to the demise of the college many years later. But here, this stop, that the actual place that they lived, which is at the corner, as you said, of Martin Luther King and Gilbert, was, you know, the Underground Railroad traffic went right by. In fact, part of the book talks about John Von Trump, who was based on John Van Zandt, a Cincinnati merchant who was helping some slaves escape right up what was then called the Montgomery Pike.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gilbert becomes Montgomery Road as it crosses MLK there. So
right.
It happened right out her front door. She wrote because she needed the money. They had some African-Americans working in the house. She needed help with all the kids. They took in boarders. They took in people to board because they needed the money. She wrote because she needed the money. College professors, her husband, Dr. Stowe, didn't make a lot of money. Preachers didn't make a lot of money. College professors didn't make a lot of money. He was both. So a lot of the Underground Railroad stories came to her from some of her former slaves and some escaping slaves. She heard about it firsthand. She is reported to have seen a slave auction in the Maysville, Kentucky area at Washington, Kentucky. There's not a lot of documentation about it, but if you read Uncle Tom's Cabin, she gives a really vivid description of the roads in the area without naming Maysville. Those descriptions could only have been written by someone who was there.
Oh, wow. Well, how did the how was it able to survive as long as it has? And what can folks visiting the Harriet Beecher Stowe House in Walnut Hills see today?
Well, you can see the actual rooms where the discussions about the Lane Seminary debates took place. You can see Dr. Beecher's study. You can see the rooms where they lived. You can see the actual physical house is not much changed, at least the original part. It was added onto over the years by mm-hmm. the various people who worked at the college. But you can actually see the house, walk in, and breathe the same air that they experienced, and actually get a sense through the we have a lot of display panels that tell the story of the Lane debates. The first African American college student was James Bradley here at the Lane Seminary. That's his statue in Covington, looking across at the Ohio River. So you can see the story of the debates, see the story of the Beecher family, see all the different things, the loss of her son here in Cincinnati, how that helped her share in the grief of slave families who were torn apart. So it's those 18 years that she was here in Cincinnati that really kind of molded her into the person who became the really radical, revolutionary, but in a polite sort of way.
Right.
Because this book was revolutionary.
Uncle Tom's Cabin made Harriet Beecher Stowe a household name. Bestseller then, 160 years later, still going strong.
Still relevant, yes.
And why do you think that is? I mean, what did she capture in Uncle Tom's Cabin that has made it so, able to survive through the ages?
What she did was speak in a language that was easily graspable, if that's a word, by everyone. She gave voice to the voiceless. So slaves who really had trouble, weren't allowed to speak for themselves, and women who weren't allowed to speak for themselves. She was making political commentary, and she was talking about things that are still evident today. The things she says about politicians and what they do to stay in office, and how people cut deals with the devil, how otherwise good people will let bad things continue to go on because they don't think it's their business. And it is their business. And so those kinds of themes speak today. A lot of people ask, well, what can I do to make this world a better place to live? And when you realize that here was just a woman who was very gifted, yes, had a great ear and a great mind, yes, but she wasn't especially trained to do that, but she did it anyway. I mean, by the time it was during her lifetime, Uncle Tom's Cabin sold more books than any other book in the 19th century except the Bible.
Wow.
And it is still going strong. It's the human story written in a very personal, intimate way. And I challenge anyone, once you get past the dialect, because she writes the way people spoke, she writes almost phonetically. And at first, it's a little difficult to get into. But once you get into the flow of it, I challenge anyone to read it and not be able to read it without putting the book down and weeping at parts of it.
Well, amazing story and an amazing piece of history right here in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it truly is.
Well, I appreciate you being here doing double duty this week, Chris.
It's always a pleasure, Mark. Thank you.
Chris DeSimeo, the president of Friends of the Harriet Beecher Stowe House. and, of course, regular Cincinnati Edition contributor on Saturday mornings on The Money. You can visit the Harriet Beecher Stowe House and find out more about Harriet Beecher Stowe and the whole Beecher family. Just an amazing story. You can learn more by visiting their website, connecting through our website, wvxu.org. And the Harriet Beecher Stowe House Annual Jazz and Poetry Cafe is coming up February 24th, an event with music and refreshments and more honoring Dr. Frank Foster, a native Cincinnatian who was the music director of the Count Basie Band. Details about that event on our website, wvxu.org, as well.